This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. It is 37 minutes past 8 in the morning, 24th of June 2020. I'm joined by Wong Xiaoneng and I'm Khoo Su Chong. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk about the viability of a travel bubble with insights from Najib Wong, the honorary sec-gen of Mata. But before that, Singapore. Now, Singapore will hold general elections on July 10th, just over a fortnight from now. And of course, yesterday, Brigadier General, Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Hsien Loong, announced elections would be held now while the COVID-19 outbreak is relatively stable.
Yeah, this will be Singapore's 13th election since independence, and it's likely to gain to see the ruling People's Action Party, or PAP, challenge for all seats, just as it was in 2015. Now, a total of 93 elected seats are at stake, and in 2015, PAP secured nearly 70% of the vote. Now, this time, due to physical distancing, no mass rallies will be held. Instead, candidates will have to focus on digital campaigning. However, they will also get airtime on national TV as part of the new one-off constituency political broadcasts.
So to break it down for us, we have on the line with us Ian Chung, the Associate Professor in the Department of Political Science at the NUS, the National University of Singapore. Prof, thank you for talking to us. Now, in your opinion, why has the PAP, the People's Action Party, called for early elections when it was only due in April next year?
So I believe that one of the reasons is they think that there's a lull in the pandemic right now, and the economic consequences of the pandemic haven't really fully manifested themselves. So in this sense, I think people, the broad public, doesn't feel the real hurt and pain of the economic downturn. So this may be what the PAP thinks is an opportune moment, or the best moment that there can be.
So do you think these, once again, the key issues for this election is really going to be about the economy and the recovery then?
So I think there are going to be several issues. One of them, of course, will be the economy and the recovery. But I think Singaporeans will also be asking, how we handled the COVID-19 pandemic. In early this year, there was a lot of cheer thinking that we did it very well, we handled it very well, but that was ultimately not the case, especially as the pandemic spread among migrant workers in Singapore. So I think some stock-taking there will happen. Also, I think Singaporeans will be faced with the question of whether they think that the old way of doing things is good enough for the future, or whether they think that things must be rethought and redone, especially as the world changes very quickly around us.
Yeah, Prof, to what extent do you think the government's management of the virus will come into focus? Because it seemed initially to have it under control and then later saw one of the highest reinfection rates in the ASEAN region.
Right, so this is one of those things that will be under contention. The PAP will likely want to play up their successes, want to emphasize that now, at least outside of the dormitories, the infection seems to be under some control. But of course, we know that the dormitory infections are very serious. We know that those are continuing. They've come down a bit, but they are still continuing. So I think a lot of the contestation will come around to how the debate over the COVID-19 infections gets framed.
And is it a foregone conclusion that PAP will win again? And even so, do you see their vote share fall this time round?
That's a really interesting question, because I think no one has a very good handle on it. So I think the PAP wants to have the election at this time, as you said, it's early, because they may suspect that their vote shares will get worse. Needs to say that they may feel some pressure. Now, if that's the case, then I think they will probably get returned to power, but maybe with less votes. But we don't know. It's possible that Singaporeans may flee to what they perceive to be safety. So sometimes in the middle of crisis, Singaporeans like to go with what is familiar rather than to really think through other things. So I think it's anybody's guess right now.
Yeah, Prof, what do you think of this so-called fourth generation of PAP leaders? Who do you see being pushed to the center stage?
I mean, I don't have to see. I mean, it's been with Heng Swee-keat as the DPM. He has really been put there, and you know that's the leader that we're supposed to be having as the next prime minister. But that having been said, I think the opinion on the fourth generation leadership is a bit mixed. They are competent technocrats, but by and large, they have very singular public service kind of experience. Whether people are comfortable with that, it's unclear. There's of course a claim that, well, they've been around doing the grassroots work. But I don't know. I mean, based on the reactions that I've been hearing over the sort of putting the 4G in front, at the forefront of handling COVID, it's been quite mixed, to be honest.
But do you expect, regardless, that the style of things, the way the government is run, will pretty much be the same regardless whether it was the third or fourth generation of PAP leaders then?
Actually, I think you're right on that, because if you look at the ministerial broadcasts that have happened in Singapore so far, a lot of it harks back to the past, what the PAP has done well previously, how previous generations of leaders have done. So that sort of articulation suggests that there's a looking back to the past as opposed to a clearer articulation of a forward-looking vision. So I think there's a tendency to sort of keep what is there rather than to think about what is coming ahead.
Yeah, what about the opposition parties in Singapore? They've, of course, criticised the timing of the election. What do you think the campaign strategy is, do you think?
There are so many opposition parties, it's hard to go through them because they're all quite different. I think the Workers' Party, the biggest opposition party with seats in Parliament, they will probably try to emphasise their grassroots appeal, their role in terms of providing minority representation, their position in terms of providing a check on the ruling party. Now, the Singapore Democratic Party, I think, will bank on a similar kind of voice, but they tend to be a little bit further left of the Workers' Party. As for the other parties, they're a bit all over the map, sad to say. So I think the way that these parties will campaign, we'll probably see a more disciplined campaign from the Workers' Party and the Singapore Democratic Party, maybe the Progress Singapore Party, but the rest, it's a little bit unclear at this point.
Okay, Prof, thank you ever so much for your insights. That was Professor Ian Chong at the National University of Singapore. Now, interesting insights, of course. Obviously, the PAP has been the linchpin, the stalwart of the Singapore political scene for decades. It would be, I guess, very...
A huge surprise.
huge surprise for anything other than a procession to victory for the PAP, especially at a time. I think the professor is quite right. At the times of uncertainty, flight to safety, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, would be, I guess, the mentality.
Yeah, go with what is familiar versus something that is new, right? I think also, if you look at it, what are the issues that I think Singaporeans are going to be focused on? And it's going to be two. One of which is the economy, because everybody on the street would know that it's tough times ahead. And I think Singapore is very concerned about unemployment, the demise of tourism in their country. They are particularly very vulnerable open economy. As a result, their stock market is one of the worst performing in Asia. So I think that's going to be very much the focus. And you can see the PAP government has really thrown money at reviving this, right? They've had four rounds of stimulus packages, very generous, especially for the workers, to avoid them being retrenched. But the other point is that, yes, I think in terms of handling the COVID-19 pandemic, their performance hasn't been stellar, because at one point, like you said, Chuang, they seemed to have it under control. And then before they knew it, there was clusters in these foreign workers' dormitories, so much so that their infection rate is one of the highest in Southeast Asia. So it's like, for a country which normally is very good at control, at getting things done properly, this was one thing that kind of just ran away from them.
Yeah, because I think Singapore, obviously being such a globalised and external-focused country, can't do by being inward-looking, right? They had to open up their business, and they've then had the second wave, just like what South Korea is happening now, just as what America's having with the Southern Sunshine States and what have you. And Brazil is now soon to overtake America, heaven forbid, as the country with the most cases. I mean, look, I just want to cite Laura Spinney this morning. Right? She's done extensive research into the Spanish flu in 1918. It's all about the country management, and it's all about what happens next. And we don't yet know. I think we to some extent might still be in very much the eye of the storm. Okay, we'll come back after this and we'll talk about more international news and domestic news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.